Luke chapter 18 as we continue our series on the parables, and we have about six more of these. We have about six more parables to go. We'll be completing this series at the end of August and Labor Day weekend, September. Then we'll be going into our next series, and I'm going to be preaching through the book of Acts, and we're going to see the church on fill of the Holy Spirit, what a church alive with the Holy Spirit on the go and on the grow looks like, as we take a journey through the book of Acts together and discover what a dynamic church looks like through the word of God. But today, we come to Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 9. Let's hear the word of the Lord together. To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, idolaters, or even like this tax collector. For I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all that I have. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast, and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Here ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word to us, and we know your blessing abides upon it. And through your word, Lord, that you've inspired by your Spirit, you speak to us. Lord, your word shows us your will and your way for our heart, and your word is a refreshment to our soul and a water that refreshes us. So, Lord, feed us from the word this morning, and Lord, give us ears to hear from you, that we may approach you in the way that honors you, coming before you with a heart, Lord, that is longing and yearning for you. That from your word, Lord, you speak to us and leave us refreshed today. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. How do you come before God? Your attitude when you come to worship this morning is important. And maybe you got up this morning, and you sometimes on Sunday mornings, it seems like it's always a morning rush. Maybe you get up and to get ready and to get everything ready and to get in the car at the last minute and to get in church in time before it starts. Maybe there's a lot of different things that's flooding your mind, and you come in with a lot of burdens and a lot of sorrows maybe on your heart. And you come and sit down, and sometimes we leave and we come to church and go home and say, you know, I didn't get anything out of the service today. It didn't seem like there was anything there. Maybe how is it that our heart, but coming before the Lord with a heart that is right? Now, two men went up to the temple to pray one day, and Jesus tells us a story. Now, if you wanted to get advice on the proper way to come before God in worship, you could go to someone like Ralph, who was a pastor. And I'm sure a pastor could give you really good advice on how to approach God and to worship him properly. And Ralph could give you advice and about how to worship God and the proper way to come before him. Or you could go to someone who's never gone to church before in their life. And maybe doesn't even have a regard for the Lord, and someone that you might consider a sinner and think, surely they have no contact with God at all. They have no way to know how to come before him. And you could ask that person how to come before God, and they could give you their answer too. But you know, according to Jesus, you know the one who gave the right answer? It wasn't Ralph. It was the one who seemed to be the sinner and had no regard. He was the one that came before God in the right heart attitude. Jesus has a way in these stories sometimes of shocking us, because he has a way in these parables of making the hero of the story somebody that we would not expect. Surely you would think the hero of the story of a person of how to come in a right relationship with God and to worship properly would be a Pharisee. After the Pharisees were the ones who were the religious leaders. They were the ones who everybody looked to for spiritual guidance and direction. They were the ones that particularly supposed to have a right relationship with God. You surely wouldn't expect a despised tax collector who were despised and known to be cheaters because the Roman government picked these Jewish men to be tax collectors who, when they were allowed to add a whole lot more to the tax than what was due, they could pocket the rest as long as Rome got what was due. And the tax collectors were despised. They were hated because they were seen as traitors to the Jewish people, and they were cheating them out of their income. And boy, we don't like tax collectors even still, do we? But I mean, the tax collector was not one that you would expect to have a right relationship with God, but Jesus made him the hero of the story. And the parable this morning we want to look at is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And Jesus made this observation. He said these two men came to the temple to pray, one the Pharisee, one the tax collector. But as they went home, Jesus said there was only one person that went home in a right relationship with God. There was only one that went home with his sins forgiven. There was only one that came before God with the right heart attitude. And it wasn't the Pharisee, it was the tax collector. So this morning, let's learn from him and the right attitude and how to approach God and how to come before him, because we're going to look at these two different men and discover from them how we can come before him appropriately. And Jesus told us, he sets this parable up. Luke was telling us that Jesus gave this parable for two reasons. For some people who were confident in their own righteousness, and those that looked down on everybody else. And apparently there were people that were coming into worship, looking down on others in worship with them, or confident in their own righteousness and the good things they'd done and came before God with that heart. And so Jesus told this parable to illustrate it. And as we look at these two men this morning, we're going to find ourselves in one or the other. We're either the Pharisee or we're either the tax collector. And Jesus uses both of these men to compare and to contrast the right attitude and coming before God. So let's discover this morning how we are to come before him. And there's two principles for us. If we want to come before God properly, we need to first come with the proper confidence. As we come into his house and we come to worship every Sunday morning, coming before our Lord, whether it's in worship or whether it's at home, as you open his word and as you come before him in prayer, privately, coming before him with the proper confidence of approaching him. Because see, we can come with a posture of pride or a posture of humility. The Pharisee came with a posture of pride. And listen to him, he stood up and he prayed about himself. He didn't pray to God, he prayed about himself. How arrogant is that? And he prayed about himself and he said, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. I've done all these good things. I'm not a robber. I've not cheated on anybody. I've never committed adultery. I don't do evil. I am such a good guy, God, and I thank you that I am not a despised sinner, especially like this terrible tax collector over here. And he came before God with the spirit of pride. He stood up. And God, he stood up in the presence of God. The Pharisee had eye trouble. Because five times here he mentions himself as he comes before God. Contrast him with the tax collector in verse 13. The tax collector stood as well, but he didn't stand proudly before God. It says he stood at a distance. He didn't even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and he came in humility and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Who do you think left there in the right relationship with God? The scripture tells us it was the tax collector. Why? Because he came in a spirit of humility. And we can sometimes come before God in a spirit of pride, boasting in all the good things we've done, but they mean absolutely nothing. Our hope is not in ourselves. Our hope is in the Lord. We come dressed in his righteousness, not in ours. And when we come before him with a proud heart, the scripture says God resists the proud, but gives his grace to who? The humble. Paul W. Powell once observed, he said, pride is so subtle that if we are not careful, we can become proud of our humility. We can become like the Sunday school teacher who, having just told the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector, said this, children, let's all bow our heads and thank God that we're not like the Pharisee. Because, see, we can become pride in our humility, and pride in our humility, and know that it's nothing we have. We're not worthy to come before the Lord. It's only by his grace. Amen. All we have is because of his grace and what he's done. So we approach God with a spirit of humility. We come in pride, or we come in humility. But the proper way is to come in a spirit of humility. In James chapter 5, verses 6 to 10, it says to draw near to God and he will draw near to you. But it says God resists the proud and gives his grace to the humble. We can look up and take pride in ourselves, or we can look down in humility at who we are with Jesus. We come with the posture of pride or posture of humility. We can boast in our righteousness, or we can boast in Christ's righteousness. The Pharisee, again, he came before God with the wrong confidence. He was boasting in his righteousness. He said, Lord, I thank you that I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I have. Lord, I've done all these good things for you. And look how good I am. I come before you because of everything I've done. And that makes me in a right relationship with you because of all we've done. Does that make us in a right relationship, all our works? No. It means absolutely nothing. And we can boast in all the good things we've done, and that doesn't get us anywhere. Because the scripture says all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. We can boast in our righteousness, or we can boast in Christ's righteousness. Notice what the tax collector does. He didn't even look up to heaven, but he said, God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. And he was relying on the righteousness of the Lord as he came before him. And if we come before God in our own righteousness and boast in all the good things we've done, it's not going to get us anywhere. And it's not going to change our heart at all. God's not going to hear that. But it's trusting and boasting in the righteousness of Christ. We're going to look at several verses here. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 says that all of our righteousness, all our acts of righteousness are as filthy rags. That's how God sees it. It doesn't mean anything to him. And turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. If anybody had the right to boast of their accomplishments before God, it was the Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul was a Pharisee. He called himself a Pharisee of Pharisees. And he realized that if he came before God trying to approach God in his righteousness and all his goodness, it didn't mean anything. And notice what he says here. If our confidence before God is in what we do, we won't be able to stand. It's only our confidence before God is only what Christ done for us. Beginning in verse 4. He says, I would have reasons for such confidence, but I put no confidence in the flesh, although I have reasons for such confidence. If anyone thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, and in regard to the law, a Pharisee. And as for zeal, persecuting the church, and as for legalistic righteousness, flawless. Paul was to the T. I mean, if it was by his works of righteousness coming before God, he would have confidence. But he says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I have considered them rubbish or trash or dung, that I may be found in Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God is by faith. And I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his suffering and becoming like him in his death, and somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Paul said, if I had anything to boast in confidence, it would be all the good things I've done, but I realize it's not that. It's by what Christ has done for me. It was the tax collector who looked before God and said, God, be merciful to me, trusting in his righteousness, God's righteousness, that left there and came with the right standing before God. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Paul said, I would not boast in anything. If I want to boast in anything, it's this. And that's Jesus Christ and him crucified and him only. Jesus is the one we boast in. And it is his righteousness and his strength. Because of him, we can come to Christ. Because of him, we can come before the Father. So we can boast in our righteousness or we can boast in Christ's righteousness. Coming before God with the proper confidence, and our confidence and hope is in the Lord, dressed in his righteousness alone. Hebrews tells us that we can come confident before the Lord because of the new way that it was opened for us through the curtain, that is Christ's body. And because of that, that's where our confidence is found. And we can approach him with boldness because of what Jesus has done for us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, said, it is by grace that we are saved through faith, not of ourselves, lest anyone could boast. So it's not boasting in what we've done or who we are, but it's in boasting in Jesus and what he's done for us. That's the proper attitude and that's the proper confidence. The Pharisee missed it. The tax collector got it. As we think of our confidence as well, with the proper confidence, we can return home unchanged or we can return home forgiven. Both of the men, as they came into worship, went home after the service was over. But verse 14, Jesus says, I tell you this man, referring to the tax collector, rather than the other, referring to the Pharisee, went home justified before God. And Jesus said it was the tax collector that went home changed in the presence of the Lord because he humbled himself before him. He came with the right attitude and the right confidence, trusting and relying in what the Lord has done for him. Sometimes we can come to church and we can come to worship and we leave unchanged. And we say, nothing happened in my heart. I don't feel any different. Nothing changed in me. And maybe it's because we had not come in the proper attitude and confidence before God. God will change us if we humble ourselves before him. And if we come surrendering in an attitude of humility to him and our heart, relying in him, he can work and change in our heart and we can leave here differently. And we can leave here forgiven. And we can leave here with God's grace. But it all comes to the proper way in which we come before the Father. We can return home unchanged, or we can turn home changed and forgiven. Or we can come with our prayers hindered or our prayers answered. The Pharisee, as he came before God, he gave this prayer to the Lord. Lord, I thank you that I'm such a great guy. I thank you how good I am and that I've done all these wonderful things for you. Ain't I a wonderful guy, God? I mean, I've done all these great things for you. And he's boasting himself up and said, I deserve special treatment in the kingdom and a special place for you someday because of all the good things I've done for you. Oh, Lord, I thank you how good I am. And the Pharisee and the tax collector prayed, didn't even look up, but prayed and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Whose prayer was answered? Whose prayer was answered? Jesus told us it was the tax collector's prayer who was answered. The Pharisee's prayer, when his long extravagant words, a religious leader, people thought he's in touch with God, he knows how to pray. Surely God's going to hear the prayers of a preacher far over a sinner. But his prayer was not answered at all. It was hindered. Why? because of a sin in his heart, because of his attitude of pride, and because he did not come before the Lord in the way he should have. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, "If I had cherished sin in my heart, you, O Lord, would not have heard me." And when we have sin in our heart, God will not hear and answer our prayers. And have you come before the Lord sometime and you prayed and it seems like your prayers are not being answered? Something is hindering them? It seems like, Lord, what's hindering my prayer from being heard? Maybe before we start looking around anywhere else and blaming God or saying, God, why aren't you answering my prayer? We need to look within our own heart. Maybe there's something within our own heart, our attitude, our pride, that is keeping our prayers from being heard because of the sin within our own heart first. And that was the case with the Pharisee. On the outward, he looked good. But as Jesus addressed the Pharisees, he says that on the outward, you look great, but you're whitewashed tombs. You're full of sin and decay in the inside. And our prayers can be hindered because his prayer was about himself. The Pharisee's prayer had no element of confession. Notice that. He did not pray and ask for confession at all. There was no element. And why did he not ask for confession? Because he felt he didn't need it. He had nothing to confess. He had no sin. He had never done anything wrong. He had nothing to confess God to forgive him for. But we all fall into sin. Nor was there any element of thanksgiving. He doesn't give any thanks to God in his prayer either. The only thing he gives thanks to God for is that he gives thanks that he's not like the despised sinner. He said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like those other people over there. But he didn't give thanks for God's grace in his own life or for what God done for him. He prays about himself. And he prays to himself about himself. And his prayers were hindered. But it was the Pharisee, it was the tax collector in humility, sharing his heart of confession and gratitude to God, whose prayer was answered. So we can come first with the proper confidence, but second, we need to come with the proper attitude. As we go back to verse 9, Jesus said to some who were confident in their own righteousness, that was the first part of it. Those who come before God confident in their righteousness. And the second, to those who look down on everybody else. Jesus used the Pharisee again as an example of a guy who was looking down on everybody else as he came to worship and thought he was better than everyone else he went to worship with. And coming with the proper attitude means that we can compare ourselves to others when we come before God or in our spiritual life, or we can compare ourselves to God. We have a capacity, we have a problem sometimes as believers, like comparing ourselves with other people. We say, boy, next to that person over there, you know, I'm not too bad. After all, I never killed anybody. I never did this or that. And I'm pretty good. And that's what the Pharisee said. I thank you. I'm not like the robbers, the evildoers, the adulterers, or especially like that despised Pharisee tax collector over there. God, I thank you. I'm not like them. I'm a pretty good guy. But the tax collector, he compared himself to God. And he looked, compared to God, he knew what he was. And he is a sinner. And we need to come before the Lord with the proper attitude. We can compare ourselves to others, and when we do, we make ourselves look pretty good. And we can always find somebody who we think is less spiritual than us, right? And we can make ourselves look better. But when we compare ourselves to the Lord, we all fall short, don't we? And he is the one as our standard. He's the one that we need to look to and become before him. We realize we're all sinners in need of the grace of God. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, Isaiah had received a vision of the Lord when he was worshiping in the temple. And God had called him from it. God had changed his life, what had happened there. But he came before the temple to worship the Lord in the year that the king died. And God's glory came upon the temple. It overwhelmed the temple. And Isaiah said, I saw the Lord, the king, high and exalted. And he saw him on the throne. And he realized that God was sovereign in the midst of an uncertainty in their time when their king and leader had died. And it was an uncertain time of angst in their time. But the Lord showed himself as sovereign on the throne, and he was king, and he was exalted. Isaiah saw him, and how was his response? He said, when I saw the Lord high lifted up, I cried, woe is me, I'm ruined. I'm a sinner because I live in the midst of unclean, I have unclean lips and I live in the midst of sinful people. And God in his grace reached down to him and said, I have forgiven you. But when he saw the Lord, he saw himself for who he really is. That's why his life was changed. And when we open the word of God is a mirror to us. And it shows us ourselves and our true condition in light of a holy God. And the proper attitude of coming before him is when we see who we are in the light of God's holiness, it leads us to that response as the tax collector, Lord, I need your mercy. I need your grace. I need you. I'm not that good. I'm not okay. I need you. So coming with that attitude of comparing, we can compare ourselves to others or compare ourselves to God. We can beat down on others or we can beat on our chest. Notice the tax collector, the Pharisee, came beating down on others. And he said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like them. And he used his experience in church and worship to beat down on others who he thought were less spiritual than him. After all, he was a Pharisee. He had it all together. But the tax collector beat on his chest, which is a sign of remorse and a sign of repentance and a sign of anguish, and said, Lord, I'm not making any excuses. I need your grace. And that's the proper attitude as we come before God, not thinking we're better than anybody else or despising anybody else, but coming with an attitude that, unless for the grace of God, where would we be? Where would any of us be? And we can come with the proper attitude either of seeking praise or seeking mercy. The Pharisee came before God seeking praise. And he noticed in the picture there was phylactery was really big. So the people would draw attention to it. And Jesus said the Pharisees loved to go in the street corners and pray openly that everybody would see how spiritual they were. And draw attention to themselves, seeking the praise of men. And he stood up in the temple and he prayed loudly so that everybody could hear what he had to say and draw that attention, seeking the praise, whereas the tax collector bowed his head and in silence said, Lord, I need your mercy. I don't see pray need praise. I need your mercy. The Pharisee mentioned all of seeking the praise of all the good things he did. Lord, he said, Lord, I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all that I get and all of that. And notice what Jesus said about when we do our acts of righteousness. Are we doing it for God or are we doing it for praise of men? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to look at several here that the Pharisee was demonstrating. And see what Jesus told us. Matthew chapter 6, beginning verses 5 through 8. First, talking about prayer. Jesus says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue. And where was the Pharisee at? He was standing in the temple, in this case, and on the street corners to be seen of men. And I tell you the truth. They have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans. They think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. The Pharisees loved to stand in a street corner and pray openly so that everybody would see how spiritual they were because they wanted praise of others. But Jesus said, when we do that, seek his mercy and go privately and share our heart with God, not doing it for praise of men. Let's go down to verse 16. What Jesus told about fasting. The Pharisee said, I fast 2 times a week. What did Jesus say about that? Verse 16, he said, the same chapter, when you fast, Do not look somber, as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. It was customary for the Pharisees to fast. They would do it every Tuesday and every Thursday. And they would go out into the marketplace because that was the day when people would come to the market and they would know a lot of people were there and they would draw special attention and want everybody to know that they were fasting so people would think they were really spiritual. Jesus says, no, don't do our works for praise of men. We do it secretly to God. And God will reward. And then giving. What did he say about giving? Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. And he says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret, so that the Father sees what is done in secret will reward you. The Pharisees wanted all the praise of men, and he stood in the temple and said, Lord, I thank you. I've done all this in your name. But he was seeking praise, and what he really needed was God's mercy. The tax collector got it right. He cried to the Lord and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. The tax collector acknowledged the sinful condition of his heart, and he was the only one left changed. He was the only one left with what he really needed, and that was the mercy of God. The irony of this story is, as Jesus is telling us, the irony of the story is that both the Pharisee and the tax collector were both in the same boat. The Pharisee looked really good from the outside. He looked righteous and he looked like all the good things and a great relationship with God, but inwardly he was just as much of a sinner as the tax collector was, maybe even more so. And he had the same need, and he needed mercy too. But his pride and his arrogance kept him from calling out and asking for mercy because he was boasting in his confidence and not in the Lord's. He was just as sinful on the outside and the inside and needed the same mercy that the tax collector received. So we can seek praise or we can seek mercy. I need the mercy of God, don't you? We all need his mercy. How graceful it is. And last, we can give thanks for our works or we can give thanks for God's grace. The tax collector, the Pharisee stood up and he said, Lord, I thank you for all the good things I've done and how great man I am. I thank you that I'm not like this guy over here. And the tax collector was so thankful for God's grace because God was merciful to him and showed him mercy in his simple prayer of confession and humility. And God heard, and it says that he was the one that went home, Jesus said, justified and received the mercy and grace from God. Coming before the Lord, being thankful for his grace. Yes, the works that God enables us to do in acts of service doesn't save us, doesn't put us in a right relationship with him. And it says that our works that we do are not for our glory, but are to be done for whose? His. Everything we do is to be done for his glory. And the works of righteousness that we do is to bring glory to God, not to ourselves. And to give thanks for his grace, because where would we be without it? It is his grace bestowed to us that changes us, that makes us, gives us that privilege and to come and the confidence to come before him. So how do we come before the Lord? We need to come before him with the proper confidence in his righteousness and the attitude of humility, not in ourselves, and with the proper attitude of realizing that we need his mercy and his grace, and what he has done for us. It's not by works of righteousness, but it's by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we can come to him. And when we do, we draw near to him and he will draw near to us. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you again for this story that illustrates for us how to come before you with a proper heart. And Lord, when we come trusting in our own righteousness, trusting in our own works, trusting in all what we've done, Lord, that's just like filthy rags to you. It doesn't mean a thing. And it's not going to get us any standing before you, any kind of special treatment at all. And when we come comparing ourselves to others, we can always seek to find somebody that makes us feel better about ourselves. But still, when we look at you, we fall way, way short. But Lord, we need to come before you with the attitude of humility and trusting in your grace and our confidence in you and what you alone have done on the cross. Dressed in your righteousness alone, we can stand faultless before the throne. So thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. And Lord, when we lift our eyes in that prayer and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, we thank you that you are, that you show us mercy and grace when we don't deserve it. And it's but simply asking of you. So Lord, may we come before you with that attitude of humility, seeking your mercy, needing your grace, knowing then we leave changed. We return home different than the way we came because you hear and respond to those prayers and you work within our heart, manifesting your grace and mercy in new and rich ways. And so, Father, we thank you for that. Thank you again for these stories that illustrate to us spiritual truths in which we can gain insight in how to have that proper relationship with you even now. So, Lord, help us to be, in this case, like the tax collector, realizing and acknowledging our need, that we are hopeless and destitute without you. You taught us, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they are the ones who see God. Those who are poor in spirit acknowledge our complete destituteness before you. And without you, we have no hope. But through you, everything changes. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are and for what you've done for us. And we can come before you boldly, not in ourselves, but in what you've done for us through Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.